So we'll speak about the Arachah for 2 weeks now. We're in after Yudzayim Batamus until the Chodesh Av. It's relatively simple. Weddings, you can't make weddings. Simchas that have dancing, music, dancing, asur. To spoil it, taking a haircut is asur. You can trim your mustache or anything hair that gets in the way that you're not doing for beautifying purposes, but for some reason you have to do it because it's bothering you physically. That's okay. That's thing until it shows up. That's basically restriction. It's mutter to go swimming. It's mutter to go on tiyulim. The time when there's a midas adin brought down, closing me down. The time when the midas adin is showed. This is the worst time of year as far as din is concerned. Hashem is unhappy with the Jewish people this time, and therefore it's put down a person should avoid sakanas. He's not allowed. Rebbe's not allowed to hear the Talmud this time because the sakana might something would happen to him. Also, it's posting me down. Some person say a father to a son also you shouldn't hit him because of that reason. It's also mentioned that a person shouldn't walk between the sun and the shade, between the fourth hour of the day and the ninth hour of the day, because there's a certain thing called Ketav Meriri. Ketav Meriri is some kind of shade, some kind of mazik, which is apparently has his ability to damage at that time between the fourth hour and the ninth hour of the day. Between the Chametz Tzel, between the sun and the shade. Now, exactly what that means, I'm not sure. I don't know what this damaging force is. I saw actually different opinions of what it is. Some say it's some kind of damaging force. Others say that it's a listing robbers and muggers. These type of things have a certain shlita, a certain ability to damage at that time. Whatever it is, we're not exactly became that. I'm not exactly the expert on what that means, but I'm just mentioning what it says. Some people say after Chatzos Yom, some people say at night, after Chatzos, at night, after midnight, halachic midnight, which is right now approximately 11:45 at night, sorry, 12:45 at night, they say speaking of Chatzos, they say this in a siddur, they have certain prakim of tilim that a person says in order to mourn for the Beis Hamikdash, and put down Mishani Rizal that during these 3 weeks it's a mitzvah to say even after Chatzos Yom until after the afternoon.
Is there a minhag to do that?
Some people do. No, it's not minhagable for sure. Not individuals. There are individuals that do it.
Minhag
Yerushalayim? No, it's an individual minhag. People, I imagine more people in Yerushalayim do it than other places because usually find these things more in Yerushalayim. People relate to it more, but it's both time and halacha. There are individuals who do it. So it's not a minhag of war. Of course, Moshe does it. Certainly, a mitzvah involved, but he's not obligated to do it. That's for sure. Of course, it's partially that it's good to learn and read things about the Beis Hamikdash. The note where it's Abu for. We mentioned a shir about it. My Harusa, Rav Hillel's spouse, was here for a day. Before he left, he gave a shir. Very nice shir. Excellent shir. It's an unbelievable shir. In fact, I had a tremendous amount from it. I mean, Baruch Hashem, I've heard a lot of shir on the Beis Hamikdash. That was one of the best I ever heard. That's why he's a chavrusa. The best chavrusa I ever had. This person is full of chedushim. Yeah, go ahead. So in any case, those are the basic halachas which are relevant until Rosh Chodesh Av. Yes, it's also brought down some people don't eat basar and yayin during these 3 weeks except on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Shabbos and Yom Tov. For sure, it's a mitzvah basar yayin. Even if Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbos, still you can eat basar yayin. But some people abstain during the weekdays. That's a bit of a drag. It's no obligation for sure. It's also about saying shachianu. Saying shachianu is brought down that a person shouldn't say shachianu during this time. Why? Because you don't say shachianu v'kinu as man azed. We're happy you brought us to this time because it's a time we don't want to be in. Not a happy time. It's a time Hashem is unhappy with Jewish people, and therefore we don't say that we're happy to come to this time. So, if a person finds a fruit that you should make a shechianu on, so there's a couple of ways. B'shem Yerizal, some people say it's mutter to say on Shabbos because Shabbos is a good time, and others say B'shem Yerizal, even on Shabbos you shouldn't say it. So, according to that, if a person finds a fruit which he can put off until eating after Tisha B'Av, it's better to do it. But if for some reason he has to eat it, say for his health, then he can make it even during the weekdays. And if he has a strong desire to have it for Shabbos on Shabbos, then he can make it a shachar on Shabbos, since it's weaker than you're allowed to make it on Shabbos for sure. It's only minigam. It's brought down the Makor, the source of the Sefer Chassidim, which is not, it's not a Gemara. It's not mentioned in the Gemara. It's not an Isser. It's mentioned in the Sefer Chassidim. Sefer Chassidim was a person who lived about 1,000 years ago who mentioned this idea. So it's not an obligation. It's better to avoid it. But as I said, if a person has a good reason, either the weekdays because of health reasons or on Shabbos because of only Shabbos, then he can be Mekel, make a Shechenu, and eat the fruits. Buying new begadim which are machayv shachianu, person should avoid, unless of course he needs them. But simple begadim which don't require shachianu, then you can buy those until Rosh Chodesh Av. Rosh Chodesh Av, then the halachas change. Get more shun. Yeah.
So in terms of what would consider light something that requires the shachianu, would this
something that a person has a big simcha from? Probably not. Unless it's a very special package, very nice package, something like that.
Is it a machlokes, but it's real low or something?
Yeah, I mentioned that in Shir.
Is it apply, someone mentioned, is it apply to Shatnas also?
Yeah, sure. That's correct. That would be a big limit school for all the Shatnas that are running around the world today. Of course, we have to be machlokes, we don't know for sure, but it could be, as far as, you know, as like say, Kavishmai, it could very well be that then it's really not wool, and then there'll be no Shatnas problems anymore. So,
we don't know for sure.
I haven't heard a clear achron. I don't think anyone's going to really be able to verify clearly that it's 100% not a sheep.
And that would be for a real beggar, it would be something that's made out of natural materials, 100%. Cotton, wool, linen, natural fibers.
Yeah, what about that?
Same thing to say, Shekhiana would be
No, it can be a polyester suit also. It's a nice suit, a polyester suit. Yeah, sure. It's a nice suit. For sure. Yeah, simcha from it, yeah. Okay, now, Rosh Chodesh Av, then things, then everything gets a little more stringent. Rosh Chodesh Av, Mishnechas Av, Mayantim B'Simcha. The Gemara tells us when Av comes in, Rosh Chodesh Av comes in, we're Mayantim B'Simcha. And the Poskim said that it is Ein Smechim Bo Klal. We're not Mishnech at all. No chasnas, no wards. People usually don't make bar mitzvah at that time. You can't make a bar mitzvah at that time. It's not a big simcha. But then the minig Ashkenaz is, we're talking about the Ashkenaz. Anybody's party here? No, all Ashkenaz. Okay, fine. Don't talk about minig Ashkenaz. Minig Ashkenaz is from Rosh Chodesh Av. You don't eat meat and drink wine, except on Shabbos. Including Rosh Chodesh. No meat and wine in Rosh Chodesh. Including chicken. Fish is mutter, chicken is not mutter. Meat, including chicken, turkey, these type of things, and certainly real meat. It's also during the weekdays, except by a suvs mitzvah, like a suvs bris milah, or you have a pidnya ben, comes out at that time, or a siyum, making a siyum. People make siyum during 9 days and they have basar, you know, they usually have chicken, whatever. It's mutter. So this mitzvah is mutter. Now, as far as who is invited to this mitzvah, so, you know, you can't just make one, okay, make this mitzvah by 200 people so we can have meat. No. Only those people a person would normally invite to the this mitzvah, then he can invite them during the 9 days. Some of them say you should have exactly only 10, but if you normally invite for this mitzvah, then you can invite them. But not to just like go look for hetem to eat basar. So of course, it's a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah on the base of mitzvah, so, you know, not looking for a term over here. You can make a suit of mitzvah, but not to make it just a way of finding a head to eat meat. Now, washing clothes, you're not allowed to wash clothes during the 9 days. Removing a stain, you're allowed to remove stains. It's not really, you won't have a big simcha from removing stain from clothes. So you can remove stains, but washing clothes you're not allowed to do. Therefore, a person is to make sure he gets before 9 days, he gets sure enough, make sure he has enough clothes beforehand. Wash clothes also, especially wash clothes you're not wear during the 9 days. We'll talk about Shabbos later. But, freshly washed clothes you can't wear during the 9 days. So, what's the Eitzah? Undergarments, there's a makel that it's enough that you don't have to, you can wear a freshly washed undergarments, because it's not a big symptom when you put them on. However, those who are Mahadra will say, or even Mikra Din, really, this person should try to make it to the Nassau first of all. There's a very simple answer for all this, everybody said. I said, as Mahadra says about 25 years ago in Rosh Hashanah, he liked the idea, and since then it's starting to be very popular. Say for example, you wash your clothes, and he didn't. There's a couple of places. One, number one, you can, you know, shirts and pants, wear them for an hour or so, for 9 days. They're not fresh anymore. That's fine. That's good enough. Right? So you can do that. That's the easy way of preparing them. But the undergarments for all the 9 days, to go wear them all, change, big tircha. So this is an eitzah I thought of, a very simple eitzah. Either you sleep on it at night, so the body heat and whatever it is, you know, makes it not fresh. And, or the other eitzah is, before you put it on, rub it on your body. You're a little sweated up, you rub the, you know, rub it on your body and get a little bit of the freshness out of it. And then you can wear it, and it's not fresh anymore. That's why I use it. That's easy to say. Right? So you have to be aware that the freshness is out of the beggar. Okay? So therefore, fresh on the garments, it should not be worn. For Shabbos is different. You can put on a clean shirt. Pants, the pashas, you shouldn't put on clean Shabbos. That's another way. Before you could clean or not clean, we'll talk about Big Day Shabbos. The minigin Yerushalayim is to wear Big Day Shabbos on Shabbos. Although the Folsom McDonald Mall says that your person should not wear Big Day Shabbos, but the Gomel Gaon says it's Avelos Brahesi, it's public mourning, and a person not allowed to do that on Shabbos. And therefore, a person should wear Big Day Shabbos on Shabbos. If he has begadim, which are not Big Day Shabbos, so it look nice, you won't know that they're not Big Day Shabbos. In other words, so you have a suit. You have, say, you have two suits. One suit, or say three. One is a weekday suit. One is a Shabbos suit. And one is like, it's not a weekday suit, but it's not a Shabbos suit either. Like, it's, you wear it maybe for special occasions, something like that. But it's not a Shabbos suit. So if you wore on Shabbos, people would know it's not a Shabbos suit, because it doesn't look like a weekday suit. So then it's a mitzvah to wear that, because you get both sheets that way. First of all, you're not wearing Big Day Shabbos. And secondly, you don't have various perhaps, you know, you see both opinions. Big Day Shabbos not wearing, and you're not showing public mourning. So you see both opinions. That's the best eitzah. I'm trying to break down this eitzah. It's a very good eitzah. But some people can't manage like that. Some people, the Big Day Shabbos is completely different, and that's it. So they have to wear the Big Day Shabbos. A shirt, a person can have a clean shirt, can have an undershirt for sure, undergarments for sure, that's if you can wear clean. The pants, again, the pants should be not freshly laundered. Shabbos, wear them an hour before the 9 days is good enough, and that is the union of laundry. The biggest shiloh that people get by side during the 9 days is washing. The more the Dominican Ashkenaz was, it's very interesting about how this Dominican came about. I spent a lot of many years working on the sugya of Rechitza, and I have mamish unbelievable coolers by side, and they all, I checked out with Tamir Chacham, they all up the alecha. These people never went to the whole sugya to find them and buy them properly. Okay, so as follows. You hear a very, very big chumras from different gedolim, which I have no idea where they came from. And the coolers I came up with, I checked out with gedolim Torah, and they agree that they're 100% api halacha. So I'll explain them to you. It's brought down, the Ramos says that the minig is not to wash from Rechodesh Av, not to wash even cold water, except his hand and feet with cold water. That's what Moshe says. Now, this is not mentioned in the Gemara. According to the Gemara, you can take a hot bath or a Tisha B'Av, no problem. You can't bathe in Tisha B'Av. The Torah suggestion, who is the source for this din, the Torah suggestion says like this, that he says a very interesting lesson. He says that they used to go swimming during the 9 days, and he said then they had the minig not to go swimming. And he said that some people still do it, but they don't make an issue out of it. But the minig is not to go swimming during 9 days. Okay? That's a minig a custom you can battle later on. It's not mentioned in the Gemara B'chol. The Nazir Ma says that we don't wash during 9 days, even cold water. Okay. So, Rashi Amagi always used to say, you know, that was fine in Europe. He was in Europe, he said, in summer, stay inside. Nice and pretty cool, relatively cool. European climate in the summer, generally speaking, relatively cool. They had no problem not washing 9 days. 1 year in Israel, I remember, the whole 9 days was cool days. My parents have a summer house in Maine, which is north in America, it's the northern part of America. I'm telling you, Bersain, if you stay in the shade in Maine, no problem, you won't sweat at all. Stay in the house and stay in the shade, you won't sweat at all. Go hiking in the sun. or go play tennis in the sun, you'll get swallowed up, yes. But if you stay, generally speaking, 90% of the time, 95% of the time, we'll say, then it's perfectly cool. No, there wasn't global warming at that time, which has made an effect, which has had its effect on the weather patterns. About 5 or 6 years ago, there was an article in the newspaper that in Israel, and the average temperature in the summer was about 5 degrees Fahrenheit warmer than in previous years.
Wow.
That's a lot. So that has definitely an effect. That's why in Yerushalayim you find everybody has air conditioners now. 25 years ago, 30 years on Yeshiva, no one had air conditioners. Wow. Occasionally you got fans, and people weren't uncomfortable. Occasionally, maybe 5 days a year you had real hot days. But generally speaking, you stay inside, in the shade. Very, very comfortable. Nice breeze, pleasant breeze. I remember. It was maybe 5-6 days the whole summer was really hot. But other than that, it was only very... So in Europe, certainly at that time, the Ramah, who lived, how long ago, the Ramah lived about 250-300 years ago, certainly you can imagine there wasn't pollution like we have, you know, and all this the fossil fuels going into the air, et cetera, that we have today. So therefore, you can imagine it was much, much cooler in Europe. So therefore, when I was in the 90s, it's not such a big deal. However, in Eretz Israel, in Kabbalah Homer, New York City. When I say Kabbalah Homer, New York City, because New York City, I don't know if you're familiar with New York City. I'm from Connecticut. It's terrible in the summer, by saying. It is Gehenna. Besides the heat and the humidity, which is
dirty.
It's filthy, dirty air, which is full of all kinds of toxic chemicals, which are acidic. You have pictures of New York City buildings, by saying. What happens to the buildings from the acidity in the air that rains the building, they actually eat away the stone of the buildings in New York City. I had pictures, I remember as a kid, seeing them, what the acidity in the air used to do from all the pollutants in the air. It's even worse now, for sure, I'm sure. So, therefore, a person walking around in the hot, sticky heat of New York City and getting all these chemicals on his body, it is absolutely impossible to survive without taking showers. Because the person can go crazy. The Gemara says, very interesting thing, one Belem says a very interesting thing, everybody says. You have two cities that don't have water. One has water for drinking, but not for washing clothes. And the other one doesn't have water for drinking. What city, the one that has water for drinking, but doesn't have washing clothes, is it obligated to give the one city that doesn't have for drinking? The one says no. If people live without washing their clothes, they'll drive them crazy. Make them crazy. And therefore, they're allowed to keep the water, even though the other people are going to die. Because they'll go eventually go crazy. You know, water wash the clothes. So not washing your website is, it can be, you know, make a person go to the cannon. So therefore, much fine writes a heter that in New York City, it's mutter to take a hot shower with soap during 9 days. Forget a cold shower, a hot shower with soap.
Whoa.
In the summer. I mean, everybody, all the people run through the mountains in the summer, you know that, in New York City. And I remember in Connecticut, which is a suburb of New York, Southern Connecticut, where I used to live, it was horrible in the summer. It was really bad news. And that was 40 years ago. When the proof wasn't so bad as it is today. So, it's still horrible there. It's even warmer now. So, in any case, therefore, by saying, and in Yerushalayim, on the hot days, if you go out in the sun, especially if you run around town, you know, air conditioning, it gets very hot sometimes, unfortunately, because of the global warming, and some of the other parts of the Earth still for sure. And therefore, by saying, to get a wash of sweat, is mutter al pilocha. Even on Tisha B'Av itself, you're allowed to wash of sweat. And Yom Kippur, this is one of the proofs that I brought, and everybody agreed with me. And Yom Kippur, we say, which is the Isur Hitza, the Asr wash on Yom Kippur, according to many Rishonim, is Asr Menatur, the wash on Yom Kippur. It's not high of course like eating and drinking, but it's Asr Menatur, for many poskim. You're still allowed to wash of sweat in Yom Kippur. Now, how much do you sweat on Yom Kippur, we say? So you take a hot mikvah of, yeah? Every Yom Kippur. Okay, so you can sweat, say it, but there, you know, one day you can survive. One day of sweating, not so bad. But Mishpatim is still allowed to wash off. It's about Chayitza Poskim, but Mishpatim Poskim and majority of Poskim Poskim that you're allowed to wash off sweating Yom Kippur.
We used to dive outside on the
floor. Yeah. Okay, so you get sweat, that's for sure. But it's, you know, it's only 24 hours. You can take a hot shower afterwards. Not the end of the world.
Anyway.
Yeah, right. You're not walking around so much, and you're in shul. True, you know. I remember, you can be hot, you can be sweaty. True, but it's not. It's bearable for one day. But 9 days, we're saying. It's like it can be, and it builds up. It gets very unbearable, and therefore, we're saying, if you're uncomfortable from sweat, you can wash off sweat. You can wash it with cold water, without soap. If you need soap, you'll have to do soap. You have to do soap. And you can have to wash with soap with that if you're getting comfortable. You don't have to go crazy. It's uncomfortable taking off something. The issue is rechitza shatayim. Rechitza, washing to enjoy yourself, like going swimming. Or enjoying nice cool water. Or a nice geshmak hot shower. That's also. But to get something off your body which is bothering you, but if you could do it, you would just take it, you know, and scrape it off or something like that. But you can't. The only way you get off is water, then you're allowed to do that smooth off your lacha, no problem. No, you should go in the cold mikveh. That's the chidush of Hanukkah. You go in the hot mikveh because it's shmak, that's awesome.
I don't like hot mikveh. It's not nice.
Well, yeah, it depends. Whatever.
Well, I mean, it doesn't feel as wrong. It feels like it's wrong to go in the hot
mikveh. Yeah. Okay. In the 9 days I'll upon him. Going to the mikveh is concerned a person who normally goes to the mikveh for whatever good reason it might be, is allowed to continue in the 9 days. It depends. Erev Shabbos, a person goes, if he goes every Erev Shabbos, he's allowed to go in the 9 days as well, but if he misses occasionally, he can't go in the 9 days. Right? A person goes because it's Kamas Ezra, a person sees Kerry, then he's allowed to go in the 9 days. He normally does that. So people go every day to the mikveh. For davening, some Hasidim do that, or other people may also, then he's allowed to do that during 9 days as well, if he goes all the time. Okay.
What about someone who goes to the Kosovo on Shabbat, and they haven't turned Kriya before? They kind of normally turn Kriya, but it's a Moab.
No. It's a day of availability. It's a necessary Kriya for sure. Or Shabbat used to do it, yeah. He's still carrying to Shabbat, remember.
You should do it anyway, even if you're not
looking
to do it.
No, if you're mechuyit to do it. We came back from America. Because we came back from America and didn't go. He's still here. I'm saying he's in Chutzal, say for 7 weeks. He came back. So the head of the Yerushalayim is Peshad is that you're one time there, and you like never left, so to speak. Right. So that's all fine. But if a person comes from Chutzal, it's so then for sure when he sees the Malkum Mukesh Mukhi Kriya. Afterwards if he stays in Yerushalayim, so then there's Mekim and there's Machlokes. Not trying to keep people live in Yerushalayim or Yerushalayim. So Machlokes are posting because someone has said that those posting the word about not trying to keep Kriya but people live in Yerushalayim were those, because the old city of Yerushalayim used to be Mamish right next to Kosel. So people were in the area, Mamish in the area, but the person lives in Rehov Gedera, which is, you know, 5 kilometers or 6 or 8 kilometers from the Kosel, and he never sees a Bechlau. So why should he be putter from saying Kriya? The meaning is that people don't tear Kriya. But it's I used to tear Kriya when I used to go to the Kosovo, even though I was in Yerushalayim. It was so far away, like, you know, what connection have the Kosovo? Kriya? Tearing a person's clothes. But, good, there are those who make them. That if you live in Yerushalayim, live in this area, for example, then if so, one time you tear Kriya, one time you don't have to tear again. Okay. Now, that basically takes Rechitza. Now, on Shabbos, Rabbi Sai, I came with a very interesting kula, that this is the biggest kula I found. Rama says that Erev Shabbos Chazon, Erev Shabbos, which is during the 9 days, you wash your head, hands, and feet with hot water, without soap. Okay, that's it. No more. Hot water, without soap. Heads, hands, and feet. Okay. Question is, what about cold water with soap? So people who didn't learn the sugya properly, look at Mishnah Berurah, says soap is also. You can't wash it. So, you know, either cold water soap or, sorry, cold water without soap or cold water, or hot water without soap. Well, everybody say, I mean, if you're washing with hot water without soap, everybody say it's a big mess, because it just makes more grease and it makes a big mess. Not kishma. So therefore, I was wanting to find out if it's a mutter to wash with cold water with soap. Because I said, there's nobody asking Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah is talking about, he says, don't wash with soap, he's talking about hot water. The Mar says, the Shulchan Aruch, don't wash with hot water. Says Mishnah Berurah on that point, he says, with soap is also. I said, Mishnah Berurah talking about cold water? Maybe cold water with soap is yet mutter. So if Shaymin said Mishnah Berurah that it's mutter, cold water with soap. Because it was, it's not the same as washing with hot water with soap, which is true. I proved it because I went in the source of this halacha. The source of the halacha is a post called the Ma'aril. Ma'aril lived about, I think, 350 years ago. And he's the source for the Ma'an. The Ma'an, the Shulchan Aruch,
says that you can't wash with hot water, there is Shabbos Chazon.
He says, I look at Maril inside, and he has two places where he speaks about it. And he says in both places that he used to be Noi, his custom was to wash with cold water with soap, Erev Shabbos Chazon. Mefurish. In two places in Maril. I said, look, Mefurish. I showed a few people. They first thing, they believe me. I showed them inside. I said, look, read the words. That's it. They can argue. So therefore, it looks like heads, hands, feet, cold water with soap is mutter. Getting a sweat we just mentioned is mutter. We just sweat it up.
What's cold water and lukewarm water?
Lukewarm water, I saw the Chazanish was making lukewarm water. Lukewarm water is okay. Lukewarm water means that it's not gishmash, but it's like, it doesn't bother you. That's okay.
It has to be freezing cold.
No, it doesn't have to be freezing cold. No. It's just not hot. Like lukewarm. Lukewarm doesn't bother you, it's not hot nor that cold. That's okay. On Shabbos is helpful by the side. Halacha is that if a person is mistaken, the meaning is like this. Medin the Gemara, you're allowed to wash yourself off with cold water on Shabbos. The minute you came out to go swimming in Shabbos, and go in cold, take a cold shower, cold bath. It's a minute. But if a person has tzar, a person is uncomfortable with the hot weather, you just walk from Rehov Gedera to someone in Unzer to go for Shabbos lunch. It's hot and sweaty. If you're lucky, you take a cold shower, wash it off. You can use liquid soap.
Well,
yeah. Bang your hair, use a towel. You can dry your hair. If you want to stay comfortable, I just get dressed in the summer. I just get dressed while drying myself. It's the best air conditioning system in the community. It's fantastic. You dry in a few minutes, and it's very comfortable. When I come to the mikveh, in the summer especially, I don't dry myself off. That by the time I walk home, I'm all dry, and then air conditioning on the way. So I'll sort it up. So therefore, by side, if you're uncomfortable on Shabbos Chazon because you didn't wash with cold water and soap, and you sweat it up, a little sweat, and you want to be machmer, so on Shabbos itself, you can wash yourself, take a cold shower, wash yourself off. Liquid soap, cold water, no problem.
Wow.
Whole body. Yeah. I have bigger chulos than that though, but they're a bit complicated, the bigger chulos. That's with the duchemish, using hot water with duchemish on Shabbos, that's more complicated, much more complicated. So I'm not going to mention that right now. But at least cold water for sure, cold water with soap, no problem on liquid soap, I mean. No problem on Shabbos Chazon. The only time we mutter, Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbos, the only time we usher, if Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbos, then it would be usher. Unless the person is sweated up, in Tzad Harbin. But normally speaking, person on Tisha B'Av on Shabbos itself, which is not this year, then it would be usher, the person to wash his whole body before water. However, this year, Shabbos comes out not on Tisha B'Av. No problem. Washing stuff over cold water and soap. You can wash air showers. You can wash in showers. Cold shower. No problem at all. Okay, everybody say? That's a very important
rule to know.
Lotion? No problem. And 9 days is not a problem. Lotion is not a problem in 9 days at all. Everyone goes to the home. That's why soap is much to use. Soap, doing a very list, everybody say, is also mishum sicha. Sicha is anointing. Soap doing this is also mishum anointing. Anointing is mutter. That's a proof I brought. Soap is mutter. Everybody says, look, the Mishnah Berurah says you can't use soap Erev Shabbos Chazon. What are you talking about? I said, that's talking about soap with hot water. That's very, very gishma. Soap with cold water. Soap is usher. Shum, then avelus, real avelus, like a person, someone who died. Soap is usher. Mishum, sicha. Sicha means anointing oneself. During 9 days, there's no minute not to do sicha. And Tisha B'Av itself is usher. You can't do sicha on Tisha B'Av itself. In other words, you can't put on lotions and these type of things in the body on Tisha B'Av itself. But for medical reasons, it's mutter. And for medical reasons, it's mutter on Tisha B'Av. But during 9 days, nobody's saying that. Therefore, by side, I show this, I draw this proof also. If that's the case, then during 9 days, you can use soap. Not a problem. Just how well the soap is a minute to answer. Again, it's a minute. Because Medin the Gemara by side, you can wash Erev Tisha B'Av, hot mikveh, hot shower, with soap and everything. But the minhag Ashkenazim Akoponim is that we're machmer. Okay, that's basically most of the things that are relevant in 9 days. Yeah. No, can't wash. Let's make sure you're buying the phone gummies. That's the main thing. Nine changes or ten changes, whatever it is.
Does it end at
Tishba? Oh, no. When does it end, Rabbi Yisai? This year, last year was Erev Shabbos, so it's different. This year, after Chatzos, Yashkenazim, the next day after Chatzos. Chatzos is approximately, it'll be then about 11, I think, imagine about 11, 12:50 it'll be. 12:50 it'll be, 7 o'clock. 12:50, the next day after Tishba, everything is mutter. The Sfaradim wait until Shkia, because the Bismarck is burned until Shkia. The Ashkenazim, for some reason, which I haven't been able to clarify why that is, they only mark until Chatzos. Well, I don't know why. Because the Bismarck is burned on the second day, on the 11th of Av, until Shkia. That's the first Minig Gemara. So, but that's the Minig of Ashkenazim, so I'm just quoting what the Minig is about that in Poskim. Why exactly it is. There are other Machmirim that wait until Shkia. Okay? Listening to that, their Shabbos is not this year, so it's not relevant. Yeah.
About working on the 9 days. Working. Someone said they have a job specifically for the 9 days. Like, say they're recruited just for the 9 days for the kids to do something else.
What are the kids doing?
What's that?
What are they doing, the kids? What are the kids doing?
At home? Nothing. There's no activities for them to do, I guess.
To make a hoop. It's okay.
Okay,
yeah. Mm-hmm. As Bechub, which is the things they're not doing, things that are also doing in 9 days, like playing music or something like that.
Yeah.
So, as far as playing music is concerned, everybody's saying, basically it's also, all music is also, a person has to perform less of the music, so then he has to ask a Shiloh what he should do about that, depends on how much the muscle is from music. During the 3 weeks, there's makilim practice, or to do, like a going. And how we're doing the 9 days itself, it's most possible to it's also during 9 days, the person makes his pronounce for music, he has to stop at least during 9 days. But if he has a shower, he has to ask the Maisa if he has something to do with the shower. Yeah. Okay.
What about someone who is a barber and has hair for a living?
He has a big vacation, 3 weeks in doing Sfira. I flip the barbers, you know. That's what I do in the Sfira, so I don't know what I do in the night.
What? The week up, I mean, that's part of here.
Yeah, it's okay.
I mean, have anybody not obligated to ask what they're from, or what are they supposed to do?
If the person's not mechuyev to ask, you assume the person's doing the heifer.
I mean, Gemara isn't the Isra only actually the week of Tisha B'Av.
Shavuot Shachar Bo, right? That's right. The din of Gemara comes out Shavuot Shachar Bo, the Shavuot of Tisha B'Av, you're not to take to Sporus. Vechiz is Mutter. Right?
Sporus.
That's right. Svarim to Svarim, that's right. Week of Tisha B'Av. Tisporus is also, Begam Mechubosim is also, the din of Gemara. And therefore, during the week of Tisha B'Av, the person should be very machmer. Should be very careful not to wear begem lechubasim, long clothes, and taking haircuts is pretty easy, but because that's medina gemora. Mechitza, medina gemora is mutter until erev Tisha B'Av. Until Tisha B'Av itself, actually. But wearing long clothes, a person should be careful to avoid that. Long clothes, freshly long clothes, because the week of Tisha B'Av is also medina gemora, it's more chamor. That's really important to know everybody to what's a minig and what's the gemora asur. Because what the Gemara asks is more chumrah than me. So, no. That's a no. Okay. Any other questions about the... yeah.
I was here for the 3 weeks part. So, I can buy undergarments and...
Yeah, yeah. And stuff. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just the thing, like a shachiyam, you should try to avoid.
Right.
But if a person has, for example, has a sale, things are very cheap, you can buy during even if it's Shachiyam. So you won't wear it until after Tisha B'Av, whatever.
Not buying Sfarim, you're buying Sfarim.
Not buying, buying Sfarim. You know, it's a big Simcha. But it's not a Simcha Gashmi, it's a Simcha Selmitzvah. You don't make a Shachiyam, you buy a new Sfarim, you know that? It's a beautiful set of Sfarim, but guys, a beautiful, wow, new Shas, you know, wow, big Simcha. You don't make a Shachiyam.
Wow.
A straw, we make a Shachiyam, but not a Sfarim. Isn't that strange?
Wow.
That's strange, what I say. The answer is that Chazal, Mesakim Shachiyanu on a Dafnik Simcha. Now, why that is, I'm not sure exactly. It could be this four Pshat is like this, that a Ruchni Simcha is like above.
Like above the above time, so to speak. That's a person's life. But a strawberry is something which is out of the ordinary. I'm just saying it's four. I don't know for sure why it is. I'm just saying it's four. It could be the double ruchani would make a shechem. But that's not so posh, because when you do mitzvah the first time, you make a shechem. So why is it that Yibayin who says four and you make a shechem? It's a cash, everybody says.
But the halacha, Yibayin who says four and you make a shechem. It's good. Mishra brings down the Bialacha says it's good to get find a pru or something, a patra, the shayla. You can, but because you know, make a shechem on the form.
Is deodorant and
that's a very good question, because deodorant is also mishum sicha. Sicha. Right. So the Havis is Uma, sicha Havis is Uma, so like this, I'll tell you by saying. Sicha basically is something which is a oil base. Sicha, and you find the Gemara, sicha is by oil or chaliv. Oil or fats.
By putting a liquid on which is not oil based or cream or lotion, for example, use spray deodorant, which either is a dry, spray dry deodorant or a dry spray deodorant, or even regular, which is alcohol based, evaporates immediately. That, Rabbi said, is not sicha.
Maybe you have rachit, maybe. Might add that even also. Therefore, Rabbi said, a deodorant which is not a stick deodorant or a roll on should be mutter to use, like a spray deodorant.
Or they have to use something before it's smelling.
Right, oh, Rabbi said, it's a bigger barrier, Rabbi said, to walk in the night and smell. That's a bigger barrier.
You can say
prophets. You can say prophets, right. Hashem said, he said it as a joke, but it's true. He said, the chum is because it's sin schinam. A person walks around in 9 days and smell, you know, with a bad smell, Hashem. That's mamish. He's a mazik. That's ben lachaver. He's a mazik. It's also if he didn't. That's what Rosh Hashanah said. Good word, huh? Beautiful word. Yeah. Never is it had to walk around with a not smelling good. First of all, it's a chol Hashem. People think, you know, these are from people that know basic manners. You know, basic their heads come no tera. We said we said a kiddush Hashem when a person deals nicely with people and he speaks nicely to people. First of all, it's around a bad smell. That's like, you know.
Yeah.
It's worse than speaking that nicely, in a certain sense. Very inconsiderate, very not. It's 100% not right. 100%. Okay, brachas around the person. Very not right, Rabbi said. It's a chil Hashem also. Person, it's a firm person, has to walk around properly kept, right, clean. I mean, even in 9 days, Rabbi said, you can't walk around with dirty, you know, filthy dirty begadim. That's a chil Hashem. It's awesome. The Gemara says that a person walks around. A person of Ben Pur walking around with dirty grease stains on his baggage, right? It's Chai Misi Be'e Shamayim. Chai Misi Be'e Shamayim. Because they're trying to school Hashem. People see that. So everybody says, yes, a Ben Pur has to be properly kept up. Need, doesn't have to be fancy dress, but it has to be clean. Clean is very important for this. And the body has to be clean. Right. The Goyim say that I think cleanliness has something with godliness or something like that. They took it from us, Rabbi I know you. All the good things in the Goyim you can find the Punkor in the Torah. You know, the golden rule, love your neighbor like yourself. Wow, you know, the golden rule. I got news that golden rule is a commercial pasuk in the Chumash. Right, before they came along. 2,000 years before they came along. Right? We got the golden rule. And also brought down that it's both Purush Mechazal that a person, the Kiyos, is one of the ways of Avodas Hashem, part of Avodas Hashem, process me nothing. So therefore, Bosan, make sure that you use deodorant. You know, I'll give you an answer, Bosan. The best and cheapest deodorant, you know what the best cheapest deodorant is? Baking soda. You know, baking soda is a white powder you find in the Macola.
So messy, though.
It's not, well, it's not so messy. I use nothing like it. Nothing beats it. It works the best. The healthiest and the cheapest.
It's actually a deodorant mistake.
What?
They make it into like a stick deodorant mistake.
Yeah, it's for 20 times the price.
Right.
You can get a kilo of bacon in a cheap place in New Shalom. You can get a kilo of that stuff. You know, 2.5 pounds of it for 5 shekels.
Wow.
Yeah, they had a cheap place. If you buy in Makol, it's more expensive. It costs, I think, five shekels for a little container for 50 grams. they can get a kilo for 5 shekels, right? You know, 100 grams for 5 shekels in a makolot. A tenth of the price, you can get everybody saying, in some of the cheaper places in Yerushalayim. It's a fantastic investment. I use it. It works great.
Could we make on Tisha B'Av and learning Gemara?
No.
Learning.
Oh, learning Tisha B'Av. Oh.
It says in the Gemara that
so
April.
No, there is
something to do to learning Gemara so people don't get any Tisha
B'Av. Yeah.
Well, first of all, there's certainly. Yeah, okay, fine, like this. I'll explain. Let me explain. It is very, very important, actually, the subject is because we're Baruch Hashem learning in Yeshiva, so we have to know what's with it. The Gemara says that you're not allowed to learn Devarim Arayim.
Yeah.
Devarim Arayim is like, for example, in Yirmiyah, he spoke about the Churban, Eov, those terrible afflictions that he had all the time. And you skip over the Pesukim, which are, you know, Pesukim of Nechama, of consolation.
You learn the Medrash Eicha, which is Medrash Rav of Eicha. You have to learn the Gemara in Gittin deals with the Churban, talks all about the Churban.
Council,
the whole Gemara is about 3.5 lot of Gemara over there. And there's a couple of grams you're allowed to learn a little bit in Sanhedrin. Moikatan, Peregimel, all the Dinravirus, and Nidui, and Dinra Masurah, Nidui is excommunication. So all these things are available to Virus. You're allowed to learn the whole Perek, which is about, about 11 blocks more. So if you want to learn more, you can learn that. Pilpul, you're not allowed to learn, just the Pashas, without Pilpul. I can't open up Rabbi Kivig and start learning Rabbi Kivig cash on the Gemara. Simple, because it's that simple. So you just want to attach to the Gemara. Of course, the Chosveros you can learn, that's Pashid, the Chosishva, obviously you can learn. The Chosveros in Yodea, at the end of Yodea. You can learn. There's plenty of learning right there. Those are basically the things. Okay? If you have any questions, learning Erev Tisha B'Av, some folks are Machmer to learn Erev Tisha B'Av, Dafka, those things you learn Tisha B'Av, but which brings down big poskim, many good old poskim learned after Chatzos until Shkia, they learn the regular things they learn because they have no cheshik, learn these other things. And Tisha B'Av people have no choice. They got to learn, you know, Avelos, these type of things. But Erev Tisha B'Av Mikudin is Mutter, so many poskim are Mekel. I myself am Mekel to learn my Walmart, Erev Tisha B'Av. That's because Pasha is a little terror without that. Okay? And I mentioned the restrictions of 9 days. And Chatzos of the next day. After Chatzos, when we get up, Rabbi Sain, we sit down on the ground, you know, at night until Chatzos, which I said about approximately 12:50. Some people are makeable, they start cleaning the house, they start doing all kinds of things, like, you know, it's like, it's not right, I'll be able to, the Velus is still, all the Velus applies on Tisha B'Av until the end of Tisha B'Av. Right? As the Chatzos from Velus is also. The only thing that changes is we don't sit on the ground anymore. After Chatzos, we don't sit on the ground. But after Chatzos, they lit the basement on fire.
And even though it's burning now, and we should have be sitting on the ground then when it's actually burning, but once it started burning, the kapora was already, there was a certain kapora was already taking place. Until it started burning, so the Chatzos was in the matzav of Muhammad. And they're going, we're attacking, there's big fighting and going on. Once it started burning, that's it. Hashem, kilo, what's the lesson of Gemara? Kilo chamasu al etzim avarim. He took out his anger on wood and stones, on stones and wood destructive. No, if it wasn't for that, he wouldn't have the Beis Mikdash, he would have destroyed Klal Yisrael. When he destroyed the Beis Mikdash instead, it's called the Mishkan, the Gemara says Mashkon. Instead of destroying Klal Yisrael, he destroyed the Beis Mikdash, took away the Beis Mikdash from them, and left them alive.
He still killed a lot of Jews, no?
Yeah, for sure. A lot of Jews died, for sure.
Why? Because if it wasn't for that, then there would be nothing left of the Jewish people. They would just completely destroy them. Completely nothing left. So, a lot of Jews died, but Klal Yisrael remained. And therefore, that's the Nechama that we have, that Kibra Hamasa Wa'itzum Alanim. That he ended his anger on Yitzhak Mavonim, and that left Klal Yisrael alive. That's it. That's why throughout the generations, that's why we have all these even terrible tragedies that happen to Jewish people throughout generations. Hashem decides, okay, he has to, you know, collect his debts at a certain time, otherwise the Jewish people won't get too many virus. So he brings the pogroms and all different things, terrorist attacks and things. The Mechap and Klai Yisrael slowly.
So to keep them existing in the world. Okay, Rosh Hashanah Zocha, Komas Alu Yerushalayim, Zocha Rav Simchasa. A person who has Mis'abel, he mourns for Yerushalayim, Zocha is meritorious, the Rosh Simchasa. He'll see the Simcha of the building of the Yisrael Mikdash. Now, Rav, I always say that we see many people Mis'abel Yerushalayim and they were nifted from this world, and what Simcha did they see? So you can say it's referring to Olam Haba, which is true, right? Or you can say, according to the Mukubalim, they'll come back as a Gilgul, which is also true. They'll come back when the Beis Hamikdash comes, and they'll come back and see the Beis Hamikdash, is also true. But I say, that even Olam Hazeh, even in this world, you won't see the actual Beis Hamikdash perhaps, but you see Ashkacha Pratis, right? You see, Ashkacha Pratis, the Ma'alim of the Teva, the Beis Hamikdash is something the Ma'alim of the Teva. And Jews, the more they connect to Hashem, and the Beis Hamikdash is particularly, then there's Zocha, to a certain extent, to a little bit of that Hashpoah that came from the Beis Hamikdash, right? At that time. So therefore, people are Zocha, too. For example, I'll just give examples. A person can have a sickness at home and need a refuah. So we can get a refuah with standard medicine, which can be very, very expensive, and a lot of pain, and a lot of difficulty. And have a refuah. Or sometimes a person is okay with a refuah in a much more easy way. He goes to a natural doctor, which takes a small amount of money, takes a few vitamins and some, and no painful treatment, and he's okay with a refuah in a very light, easy, painless way. So therefore, a person in Ruvesai, similarly, a person who's able to basically make this a good book will give mashkecha pratis. I can't promise him bizocha anything particularly, but the general call is Rabbi, that a person who does things, mis'abel and basically something like that, he's zocha to a certain mashkecha pratis, which is l'mayim l'teva to a certain extent. Nisim mistorim, we can call it. And because that's what the basically makers represented, in the time of basically makers, nisim gluim, there's open miracles. And even now, a person who's able to base mikdash, he feels the base mikdash, he can be zocha very often to hidden miracles, sometimes open miracles also, but that's already very rare. But at least hidden miracles in his daily life. So that's just a lowish more boisai to get us to think about the base mikdash a little more. Truth matter, we should feel it because the Gilgul Shechina and things are very ruchnius and very, very elevated type of machshavas, but we're small people, so we need a little bit of lowish more to get us to feel. According to our level, so these are some things you can think about this on a low level, just to appreciate a little bit what the base makers was. Anybody say? Have a good day.
So